We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Monday to you. And it is a Monday, May 13 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Back from our weekend slumber and ready to roll on 1037 The Game. Ben Love, alongside the famous Clint D., and for the next 2 hours, we got you, bringing you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Great guest list today. So proud of it. We're coming out of the gate with it. In our very next segment, about 12 minutes from right now, Mondo Duplantis, fresh off of breaking the collegiate record, NC2A outdoor pole vault record. Lafayette's own, Lafayette's finest, will be with us at 4:15. Make sure you're ready for Mondo at 4:15. 4:45, Yvette Girard. Speaking of Acadiana area royalty, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer with us at 4:45. Ruffin Rodriguez back where he needs to be. Power hitter in the lineup on Mondays at 5:15. Big program between 4 and 6. I'm kind of getting used to this. Hopefully you are as well. We're going to lead off Mondays with a little split screen. We got so much going on. We'll begin baseball on both sides of the basin and then softball. And of course, as we are gentlemen and courteous, we'll take your call, 706-0111. LSU baseball loses 2 of 3, but they did win when it came down to nitty-gritty time on Saturday. Game 3 at number 4, Arkansas. A bomb from Antoine Duplantis. Speaking of that Duplantis family, that ball leaped up and out of the damn ballpark in Fayetteville, and the Tigers needed it. It did not absolved the sins of Thursday and Friday, but it did show that they have not completely waved the white flag. And that's two straight game threes in series. You'll recall Sunday against Ole Miss, they tried to mount a comeback for the ages. In fact, they did. It just came back around on them in extras. And they were able to complete the comeback in Fayetteville, not just for the game, but for the series, because I don't have to tell you that a sweep at Arkansas, albeit a really good, especially offensively, a really good Razorbacks team, a sweep this weekend in Vietnam would have had the prospects looking as bleak as the fans' actual outlook is. Now there's at least maybe a little difference between the two. And trust me, I spent parts of my day on Saturday and Sunday in Baton Rouge. The sky, well, it was falling for a little bit weather-wise, but it felt like the sky around LSU baseball was definitely falling. If I had to just give you a straw poll feeling of the people in my general vicinity Saturday and then again Sunday, and no, I wasn't related to all of them, but the people that were in my circle that wanted Maneri fired compared to didn't, oh, it was 9-1, brother, sister. It was 90% they were done with the man, and I just said, might not be time to press that button just yet. And it's not that Saturday's win changes things long term, but in the short term, they didn't wave the white flag. But let's be honest, this is still a team that, barring something miraculous in Hoover, this team's going on the road for regional play. That'll be two straight years. They'll have some digging to do. I'm not sure it'll be against a team the likes of Oregon State last year in Corvallis, but they'll have some digging to do. And getting healthy would help. Today, the news wasn't surrounding Cole Henry, which, as I know, that's what you'd prefer. It was about Jaden Hill. And according to Maneri, Hill threw off the front of the mound and, quote-unquote, looked like a major leaguer. We'll see if Jaden Hill, the freshman from Arkansas, can re-enter the rotation or, more likely, at least enter the fray, pitch a couple of innings, and build back up some strength. Maneri continued to say Hill scheduled to throw a bullpen session, a full bullpen session, and he's encouraged by what he's seen so far. As for the midweek, LSU takes on UNO tomorrow night. Devin Fontenot will get the start. Cade Beloso's ankle could keep him out of that ball game. If it's not Cade, it'll almost certainly be professional hitter Chris Reed. So LSU baseball, not dead just yet, but they're almost certainly going to have to win some road games. And I think you might be looking at the final game at the box this Saturday against Auburn. As far as UL baseball, completed the sweep of Georgia State yesterday on Mother's Day. And the reality now, with a trip to Monroe looming this weekend, Tony Robichaud and the Cajuns, they need one out of the three against the Warhawks to qualify and secure a berth in the 2019 Sun Belt Conference Tournament. Just get into the dance. Get there. From there, you got to see if you can catch fire. That's all you've got at this point. And so for both programs, it's no doubt on the frustrating side. And that's the entirety of my weekly reboot podcast for you this week. You can find it on demand, 1037thegame.com, the mobile app as well. Just go click, tap on demand. But the point is this. If things don't change and LSU bows out in a regional, if UL fails to make a regional, and those would both be more likely than the opposite at this point for both programs, next year could be a really big hot seat year for both of those coaches. Maybe a little more Maneri than Robe, but some standards that have been set for these programs aren't being met. They're a little more unrealistic at LSU. But even some of the ones that Robe carved out for himself, the excellence that he displayed for decades, the house that Robe built, the cathedral that is, the new Teague Moore Field at Russo Park, they're going to have to start playing to a higher clip as well. But they started to this weekend, and that's a good sign of life with the sweep of Georgia State. All right, let's go on the other side of the split screen. Before I run out of time in our opening segment, let's talk a little softball, and we'll begin with UL. 50-4. Ran roughshod through the Sun Belt Conference in the regular season. Definitely were more challenged in the conference tournament, but still got the job done. Came out of it unscathed. And yet still, they're going to be at the Ole Miss Regional in Oxford. Ole Miss, the number 11 seed. So if I'm not mistaken, Clint, you'll correct me on my math if I'm wrong here. All right, let's see here. If you're going 1 through 16... Yeah. And 8 is matched up with 9 as far as supers. That would then mean 10 and 12. And so I think by extension we can justify that the Cajuns are the number 13 ranked team, at least as far as the committee was concerned going into Sunday.
Basically, yes.
And so they were the number 8 team in the country when it came to ranking them, but the number 13 seed when it came to everything that goes into it, right? The RPI, everything. Not just how you bash your conference like a pinata, but everything else. And I do think it's a shame for Jerry Glasgow and UL. But one thing I will tell you is I connect some dots from UL to LSU. I'm glad the committee didn't take the low-hanging fruit. I'm glad that for the first time in what feels like, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, where they had a realistic opportunity and a path toward pairing LSU and UL together, they didn't take the bait. LSU, the number 10 seed, they will host a regional in Baton Rouge. But if the Tigers advance, and they've got Texas Tech, La Tech, Monmouth coming to the capital city, if LSU and Beth Tarina advance, they're going to number 7 Minnesota, if chalk holds. So number 10 LSU is matched up in the Supers with number 7 Minnesota. So an LSU win could send the Tigers packing north to cold country, the land of 10,000 lakes, not 1,000 as I messed up a few weeks back. But UL, if they can pull an upset, and I do think it's imminently possible, in Oxford, Cajuns will start off with Southeast Missouri Friday at 3:30. They win that, they'll get the Rebs. If they can get through that regional, the Oxford regional is paired with number 6 Arizona. And so while LSU, with the win, could head north, the Cajuns, with a upset, with a win over in Oxford, would head west toward Arizona. I think they've got a really good chance of doing just that. Big show today, as we've told you, led off with the split screen. LSU, UL, first baseball, then softball, and we'll be coming back to both today, especially the softball side with a Vet Gerard at 4:45. But don't forget, on the other side of this break, a young man who leapt 6 meters on Saturday night at John McDonald Field in Fayetteville, Arkansas, for the metric system challenge. That's 19 feet, 8 1/4 inches. He's now the best to ever do it outdoors at the collegiate level. And maybe more importantly to him, LSU claimed the 23rd SEC outdoor title in program history, first in quite some time. On the other side of this break, thrilled to bring back Mondo Duplantis. Enough said. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we will return quickly on Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game. Live online at 1037thegame.com. Get in on the conversation. Call on The Game Hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111.
Third attempt, 19-8 and a quarter for a collegiate record.
Got it.
Yes! He gets it!
Wow!
Listening to Track and Field is exciting when our next guest is the one doing the deed. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. And you know who that sound is about. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Joining us from Baton Rouge, he is the collegiate record holder for track and field outdoors pole vaulting, 19 feet, 8 and a quarter inches. He did it Saturday night at the SEC Outdoor Titles in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And, of course, it is Mondo Duplantis. How are you, Mondo?
Good. Thank you, Mr. Ben, for having me on again.
Hey, you know, it's a pleasure. Look, since the last time we talked, we had your sister on this program at the Beaver Club Relays. Mondo, she couldn't even enjoy her win. She was disappointed because it wasn't her best and she knew it. Does that sound like your sister?
That's the Duplantis attitude right there. Always wanted more.
Well, tell me about your weekend, and especially jumping in the cold and knowing that you were coming down, as we just heard, to your third and final jump. Did any of that add pressure for you?
Yeah, I guess in a sense it did. You know, going into the meet, I really just wanted to, you know, the 10 points, you know, get the gold for the team first. And then I guess if I was feeling good, if everything was, you know, going well throughout the meet, I was going to hopefully take some shots at the collegiate record, you know, just to get it off my shoulders because, you know, the kind of clock is ticking. I don't have too many competitions left to get it. So, it was in the back of my mind, but I really wasn't that worried about it, honestly. And, it was supposed to be even colder than it was, so it wasn't too bad. I'm not going to complain about the conditions or anything because, you know, it was good enough to jump 6 meters, so all good with me.
And I'm so glad you mentioned getting the 10 points for the team. This is the first time, as you probably well know, since 1990 that LSU has claimed the outdoor SEC title. And you weren't the only one to win, right? Individual titles in the high jump, triple jump, and the 4x100. How exciting was that for all of you to accomplish that for the first time in almost three decades?
Yeah, it was very exciting. You know, track and field is not really thought of as much of a team sport. But, you know, the way the NCAA has it all set up and the SEC, where they have the scoring system based on, you know, how the individuals do in their particular event. And, you know, we have a great group of guys. And, you know, to be able to train with all these guys every day and, you know, see how much work they put in and to see, you know, everything pay off for everybody and us to, at the end of the day, you know, be pushing the trophy and, you know, be the SEC champions was a great feeling, you know. It would just add a little bit more to the day.
Former Lafayette High Mighty Lion and LSU Tiger Mondo Duplantis, our guest on 103.7 The Game. And I've never asked you this. When you're out there and you're competing and locked in your mind, Mondo, are you competing against others or just against yourself and what you know your best can be?
Yeah. No, I think the meet this weekend, you know, I really am competing against, you know, myself. And because I know if I go out there and do what I'm capable of doing, then, you know, I should be fine. And, you know, pole vaulting is a very tricky event. And, you know, there's no 90% on any jump. You really have to give it your all every single attempt, whether the bar is at 18 feet or almost 20 feet. And so, you know, I just take it one bar at a time and, you know, just try to find a good rhythm. And, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, I'm taking shots at some type of something high.
I got to tell you, I'm thrilled to have people like the communications department at LSU to be able to tell me, Mondo, that 6 meters is 19 feet and 8 2/4, or 8 1/4 inches. At this point in your life, how fast are you at metric conversions?
Oh, for the most part, I pretty much go by metric and when we're talking about pole vaulting. But, you know, I have this divided family to where I got all my friends and family in Sweden, they want the nature, and then everybody in the United States wants feed nature. So I kind of had to get pretty fluent in it quick because I'm getting asked in both all the time. So I just kind of got to know both of them.
I was curious about that. So it sounds like to me maybe you default to metric, and then if you have to convert, you go to feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And the story has come out that you, your brother, obviously were staying not too far from one another in the hotel room. What was that like knowing the level of competition you both were set to face in Fayetteville?
Yeah, it was funny. You know, I knew that flying was going to be in Fayetteville this weekend because they had the big series against Arkansas. And, you know, it somehow just worked out to where the baseball team was staying in the same hotel. He was like two or three doors down from me. So we got to hang out a little bit, which was pretty cool. You know, just to be able to see him do his thing, which I've been able to see, you know, this entire year, especially it being his last year at LSU, it's made it a little more special that we kind of had this whole thing work out to where I had the SEC championships within Fayetteville, and he had that big road series. And, you know, of course, Saturday, him hitting that go-ahead three-run bomb about an hour before I went out onto the track to go compete was definitely motivating, to say the least.
How did you find out about the home run? How were you kind of plugged into what was going on the baseball side?
Well, what actually happened was it was kind of funny. Some official went up to me and said that that we were leading in the I think it was the eighth inning. They said, "Yeah, y'all just took the lead." he said somebody hit a three-run bomb. Y'all are up 3-2 now. And so I checked my phone, and I had a bunch of messages saying, like, in all caps, 20, blah, blah, all kind of stuff. So I looked, and I saw that he hit the home run, and I thought it was kind of funny that the official told me that a baseball player on our team hit the home run, not knowing that.
That's incredible. Now, look, have you talked to Antoine yet about his discovery of what you did in Fayetteville? Was his game already over, and he got to maybe even watch it?
I'm not sure if he really got to watch it, but I mean, yeah, we talk all the time. I don't know if he was excited for me. I guess I hope so. I don't really know. We tell each other. I don't know. It's hard to explain, really. I don't think he sent me a direct congratulations. I said congratulations to him. I think it's just kind of something that we do. And we're keeping each other honest, I think. Keeping each other humble.
Well, tell me if I'm summing it up correctly. Winning is just understood, and it doesn't have to necessarily always be maybe exaggerated.
Yeah, exactly.
Got another moment or two.
We're just trying to make it better.
Mondo, we got another moment or two here. Before we let you go, what's left for you in your freshman season? What else do you want to accomplish, and how high can you climb, quite literally, the remainder of this year?
I know for sure us as a team are going into the NCAA championships. I know we have, if everything goes according to plan, that you know we have a shot to win the NCAA championships in Austin in some weeks. So first things first, I'm definitely going to go in there, just try to win, get the 10 points. You know, hopefully that'll be enough for me to at the end of the championships get us to the top of the podium. So, you know, definitely team championships would be a memory of a lifetime, for sure, my freshman year. They go in and after the SEC championships, to be able to win this for the league. But I don't really know. I'm not really thinking about a specific height right now. Just trying to go in there and definitely just win.
We'll get you out of here with this. You think of Tiger Woods on Sunday, and he's got the red shirt, and he's got the fist pump he does. His celebration seems like it's the same every time. Do you ever premeditate yours, or does it just kind of burst out of you?
No, not really. Honestly, I feel like it's something that just kind of happens. You know, sometimes I'll do a flip. Sometimes I'll just start yelling and running around and stuff. But it just depends on the jump. Depends on the significance of it and everything. But I mean, I feel like I have things in the back of my head, and sometimes they just kind of happen. But no, I don't really plan it too much. I kind of just go with however much excitement I have, and then just kind of just start doing things.
so many people, Mondo, in this Acadiana area enjoying what you're doing from afar. Keep doing it, my friend. Look forward to talking again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Mondo Duplantis really is the best. Of all the prep athletes, and I know he's now at the collegiate level, but of all the amateur athletes that have come on this show, he's probably climbing the ranks of the most to have done it. I think that's interview 5, Clint. I went back in the archives a little bit today. I believe that is the 5th time that Mondo's been on this program, and I always enjoy the heck out of it. So I want to thank him, everybody at LSU, for hooking us up with that interview today. He is a busy, busy young man. And yes, he goes from meters to feet/inches. So I learned something today. Doesn't always premeditate the jumps. And, you know, no Duplantis family hijinks or pranks, even though they stay a couple of hotel doors down from one another in Fayetteville. That was really cool.
Right. And it's time for your sink or swim question of the day on 103.7 The Game.
Yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, back in with more of the good stuff. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D, and we just had Mondo Duplantis. Are my ears playing tricks on me, or was that interview so good that we had a power outage toward the end? Was I kind of whimpering toward the finish line?
It was a little bit of a whimper. I don't know what was going on there. Sometimes things just happen. The beauty of live radio.
The dude blew a fuse in the program.
Yeah. Remember the time Tim Buckley did that?
Yeah, but, you know, he doesn't have the star power of Mondo Duplantis.
Yeah, but he was also spitting that fire that one time as well.
Okay, that's fair. All love to Tim, and we do appreciate Mondo Duplantis. You want to weigh in? The time is now. 706-0111. In exactly 10 minutes, another Acadiana area legend. Yvette Girard joins the program to talk LSU and UL softball. But before we get to any of that, thinking about Mondo coming on the show today got me thinking about the best freshman ever. And now I'm going to ask you, who were yours?
Love, exciting and new.
Does not matter what the sport is. Here's your sink or swim question of the day. Who are the best freshman performers that you can remember at the collegiate level? Pick your sport, pick your program, just call 706-0111. Clint, give me at least two or three to start.
I'll give you two or three to start, and I think it's easy to go looking towards the Raging Cajuns. Eli McGuire, 863 yards, a touchdown. He's definitely set the standard of what many expected for him.
Thank you, Alonzo Harris.
Yes, indeed. Alex Lang, 12-0, 1.97 ERA from LSU baseball. Almost felt like putting Zach Hess in there, but I have to kind of relook at Alex Lang's stats because I knew he was good. I forgot how damn good he was in his freshman season.
He didn't lose.
Never lost. He was phenomenal. And then you have, looking at college basketball, more of a national side of things, Allen Iverson, 2.9 steals a game versus with the Hoyas. Almost felt like going Steph Curry, but if he wound up his freshman year doing what he did in the NCAA tournament, I would have put him in there. And then Adrian Peterson, just a flat-out beast at OU.
Impressive that you went with steals as the go-to stat for Allen Iverson while a member of Hoya Paranoia.
Yeah.
You're cheating off of my sheet. I had Alex Lang as well. That one's just
too easy.
He was incredible. And now you're just plagiarizing directly from Frank. So
Frank's going to call it any minute now.
Your mic is a little too hot. It may need to get Mondo Duplantis for a moment or two. 706-0111. The best freshman performers that you can remember at the collegiate level. Alex Lang is a phenomenal answer to that question. But I'm going to give you more. And I'll explore a couple of different sports at LSU with this one. And, Clint, how dare you forget about a guy that comes on this show every single Friday during football season.
Yeah.
Justin Vincent is the most outstanding player of the 2003 SEC Championship game, most outstanding player of the 2004 BCS title game. Hard to do a lot better than that. Now, that may not necessarily mean a whole 14-game season, because I remember distinctly, as I was at both LSU-Georgia games in 2003. First in Baton Rouge for that epic 17-10 win by the Tigers, and then in Atlanta for another win by LSU. And Justin Vincent, if I'm not mistaken, didn't even play offensively in that game. I think just special teams. I want to say he and I have chatted about that on the air as well. But they were going with cats like Chiron Carey at that point, right? JV wasn't that dude yet. He came on late. So it wasn't necessarily wire to wire for Justin Vincent 2003. But in the two biggest games that LSU football had played basically since 1958, he came up enormous in both of them. Justin Vincent, you have to go to. And I'll mention Kevin Falk as well. Biased? Damn right. He's from this area, and he's a beast. In his very first game for LSU, he led off the 95 campaign with 23 carries, 171 yards, and two touchdowns. Very first game, Kevin Falk, Feezy K, needs to be on a list. And now we need to get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Angel, welcome to the program. Great to have you. Give us your favorite freshman performers.
Hi, thanks. Ashley Brignac, without a doubt. She came in, pretty sure she made a 4.0 her whole career. I think she's a doctor now. And I think we beat Florida, who was number one her freshman year. And, I mean, she just had so many strikeouts. It was so fun to watch her.
I love that. We got a softball submission right off the bat. Ashley Brignac, and did it off of the diamond as well, Angel. That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give it up. You know, it's not just on the field. It's off the field, too. And, you know, you got to give her her props.
And we are. And we appreciate it. Angel, yeah, leading us off the way we need to. Ladies first from our callers in this conversation. We got time for more. In fact, we got plenty of time for more ladies. Call us up. Let us know your favorite freshman to ever do it. Doesn't matter the university. Doesn't matter the sport. And, of course, it's inspired by Mondo Duplantis hopping aboard about 5 minutes ago. Let us know yours. 706-0111. Clint, you got me thinking a little bit as you went nationwide with Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson. I mean, I don't want to cheat, but I could go with basically every one-and-doner during the modern era of college basketball that was a top-five draft pick. I could easily share with you Anthony Davis. I know, sore subject, South Louisiana. And that one would fit. Anthony Davis, here's what I'll say about him. He led John Calipari to his only championship at Kentucky, well, his only championship ever, for that matter, and he was horrible defensively. I'm sorry, offensively in that game. Anthony Davis helped win Kentucky a national championship in 2012, if memory serves, whatever year it was, and they basically stopped feeding it to him offensively. Defensively, he took the game over. I got some more on the LSU side, but I'm not going to take everybody else's cookies. Angel called in and gave us Ashley Brignac. I love that. Let's get our next caller submission. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Nick, you're up.
Hey, I got to go with Tommy Frazier, Nebraska football, and then you can't leave out the Fab Five, Michigan.
Ooh, a whole team of freshmen. That's not bad at all. And some forgotten members there. Everybody remembers Chris Weber and Jalen Rose. Don't forget Juwan Howard was an absolute animal at that level. And I'll give you the fourth one because everybody forgets him, Ray King. Nick was so impressed by my recall, he hung up. That's okay. We got time for a few more. 706-0111. Tommy Frazier playing for arguably the greatest college football team of all time. Fairly partial myself to the 01 Canes, but I recognize what those mid-90s Huskers were all about, no doubt. Fab Five's a good one, though, because that changed the way that we looked at freshmen. I'll share one more because I don't want to take everybody else's that may be hanging low. The Honey Badger. And if I'm not mistaken, today's his birthday as well. So this doubles as a birthday salute to Tyrann Mathieu. Or as I referred to him in 2009 while hosting Tiger Rag Radio with Jeff Palermo, Tyrann Mathieu. I Frenched it up. I Frenched the hell out of it. It's just Tyrann Mathieu. So now I know. And now everybody knows who he is. And the nation started to learn about Tyrann in 2011. I get that. I'll never forget two things about freshman year Tyrann Mathieu. Number one, we go to practice, August, and I mean early August, fall camp, 2010. And Patrick Peterson tells all the reporters, and this is PP7's junior and final season, Patrick tells all of us, y'all need to go look at this number 12 kid. And I can tell you that that's a deep cut because everybody I tell the story to is like, oh, he never wore number 12. Trust me, for the first few days of fall camp, he wore number 12 before switching to number 14 and sporting them Michael Clayton digits. I vividly remember Pat Peterson telling us, y'all need to go watch this 12 kid. And we quickly all learned about Tyrann Mathieu at practice. By the time they got to, not Allen Iverson practice, but the game, he wreaked havoc against UNC in the Georgia Dome. His first ever collegiate game. Getting behind the line of scrimmage, strip sack of North Carolina's T.J. Yates. I still remember covering that game, and I remember the blur that was Tyrann Mathieu. And at the time, Ron Cooper and company, know they wanted to play him. I don't think they fully realized what they had coming off the edge as a bandit blitzer. He became a defining player in LSU football history and helped reshape what some of those subset package guys could be and what they could do. Tyrann Mathieu was incredible, even as a freshman. Try not to forget that part. All right, we're coming right back in. Speaking of a legend and speaking of softball, Angel called in and gave us Ashley Brignac. I think our next guest may have a thing or two to say about that. Yvette Girard, when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Never miss a show.
To the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
1037 The Game.
Wasting no more time. Back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. And let's get out. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, our pleasure to bring back Yvette Girard, former LSU and UL softball coach, does a great job as part of the CST crew calling softball games around this state now. How are you, Coach?
I'm good. Really good.
So right before you came on, I'm going to allow this topic to jump into the interview. People were calling in their submissions for favorite freshman performers. Who are some of your ladies here in Lafayette and over in Baton Rouge that maybe fit that bill?
I think, you know, I always go back to the athlete that I think was the best softball player I ever coached, and it was Kyla Hall. She was magnificent the day she walked on the campus. Actually, Stephanie Witten, too, now that I'm thinking about it, just dominating pitchers. Lynn Britton, who played third base for us, four-time All-American, phenomenal. So those are just some of the names that come to mind.
Did you say four-time All-American?
Four-time All-American.
We had Mondo Duplantis on earlier. I don't know if he stays 4 years, but if he does, he'll match that.
Oh, can you imagine? The guy is almost jumping 20 feet high. That's just hard to fathom.
I'm with you. And even when I talk to him about it, it still doesn't register for me. Coach, I know that you have some thoughts, and I want to get to them. And we'll start with LSU, the number 10 seed. They'll host the Baton Rouge Regional. What do you make of the teams that are coming in? Texas Tech, the 2 seed, La Tech, the 3 seed, Monmouth, the 4 seed.
Well, I think at this point, LSU really needs to worry about LSU. They kind of fell apart here in the stretch. I mean, I think they probably lost the top 8 seed in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Of course, you know, it wasn't slouches that they were playing. They were playing, Alabama, and then they faced, you know, Barnhill from Florida in the SEC tournament. So it's not exactly like they were, you know, playing the Sisters of the Poor. But they have, to me, they've truly probably lost some confidence. They don't look like the team that, gosh, for three quarters of the season, there was no question in my mind that they were in the top 8. But then I think they got a really good draw. I think that, again, it all depends on LSU. If LSU plays the type of ball that they were playing at one part of the season, they'll have no problems. But, they don't have that dominating pitching. Those two All-Americans are gone. They have adequate pitching, more than adequate pitching, but they were just bombing the ball at first, and those bats have just gone so quiet. So they've got to get that back.
If they find a way to win, they'll be matched up with the Minnesota Regional. Our guest right now, Yvette Girard. Go ahead, Coach.
And I think that's a great matchup for them. I mean, you know, I think that's a very – not that I've seen Minnesota, and I probably should take those words back. Minnesota had a really, really good team a couple of years ago that I saw. But, you know, at least it's not a UCLA and Oklahoma. You know that you could beat Florida, but which that's just – I know we're going to get to the Cajuns, but once again, the committee, you just scratch your head. There's just some crazy stuff that they do year in and year out. And people that think they can figure it out before the call is made, ain't no way. You can't figure out what they're thinking.
Well, let's pick at that scab a little more. And you're right. The Cajuns, the number 13 seed, according to the committee, and yet they finished 50-4. Is this injustice? What more could they have done?
Well, you got it. They put so much emphasis on strength of schedule. They really do, because they want to know who you beat and what teams did those teams beat. And, you know, if those teams get beat, then it's a, you know, it's a whole mathematical thing. But RPI and strength of schedule is a huge equivalent in that factor. And changing strength of schedule, not to their, probably not to Jerry Glasgow's doing. I mean, the Florida State canceled the series. They got snowed out, weathered out in Oklahoma, and some of the teams that they scheduled aren't as good this year. But the Sun Belt just really kills them. And once they're locked into that conference tournament schedule, you know, it's just, it's not good. And hey, teams don't really want to come to Lafayette and play and get their butts beat. So it's always that, got to get on the road. They've got to go to get, they've got to get themselves in the tournament in Florida, that opening tournament. They've got to go back to California and play in there, or they've got to get some three game sets with somebody. But those tournaments, those two tournaments that I've talked about, afford them the opportunities for some big time RPI points. And when I was there and we were independent for so long, I faced the same thing. We had to, you know, we were on the road, and you just have to know how to schedule. And this year it just really hurt them. And I think what people get confused by, and I say it all the time, the polls mean nothing. It's only for publicity for the sport. It holds no weight. So people get consumed with how could we be, you know, sixth in the country and we don't have host. That's why. It doesn't mean anything. So it just gets everybody excited about, you know, what people may be ranking them. But as far as for the committee, it doesn't hold any weight. And that dang committee changes all the time. And unfortunately, they have a lot of administrators on that committee that are not from good softball playing schools. I mean, really. I mean, the Cajuns, I know that they're upset. I never really thought they were going to get a host. I didn't. But for Florida to be ranked ahead of Alabama, when Alabama beat them 3 out of 4 times head-to-head, it's just mind-boggling to me, because that certainly should carry a lot of weight, head-to-head competition.
We've got a few more moments with Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Yvette Girard. All right, speaking of the Cajuns, what do you make of their draw? I know it's one step at a time. They've got Southeast Missouri Friday at 3:30. They're in the Oxford Regional, and then way down the line, potentially, they're matched up with number 6, Zona. Take us through all of it.
Well, the Cajuns, again, they kind of have the same problem LSU does. Their bats have gone quiet. They're not scoring runs like they can. Summer Ellison, can she pitch all those games? Yes, she can, if they stay in the winner's bracket. If the Cajuns' bats were as hot as they had been, but of course, you know, at the end of the season, you're going to see much better competition on the mound. Ole Miss's pitchers are pretty good. I won't say that they're just dominating, but they're pretty good. But if the Cajuns hit like the Cajuns are capable of hitting, they could get back to Oklahoma City. Now, take it one step at a time. I do think the Oxford Regional is very winnable. Of course, going to Arizona is a different subject altogether. But Summer Ellison, I'm very, very impressed with Summer. If they can keep her in the winner's bracket, I think they can do this.
Hey, before we let you go, did I see you and Lynn Rollins fishing on CST the other night?
Yes, you did. I am sitting on my wharf in my backyard. That was the lake I live on in Baton Rouge. And, yes, we were fishing, and we had a great time. And we're totally bummed because we're not calling any games this weekend. So, anyway.
We may have to find a way to rig that up. I'm sure the rights are somewhere else, but if we can get in there with our station, we'll call you guys up if we can afford you.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the important
I'm
part.
I'm sure we come cheap. We come cheap.
We'll take it to Prejean's or something. Coach, thanks for doing this.
You're quite welcome.
That's
Yvette. Go Cajuns.
There you go. Yvette Gerard. And, Quillen, bring her back on. Coach, you still with us? Tell me a little bit about
here.
Have you had an opportunity to call some more games? I think you have at Yvette Gerard Field.
I call four, and every time you say that, I just kind of break out into a smile and just, you know, and I told somebody the other day, they were saying, oh, my God, how does that feel? And I said, you know, and I'm not even dead, so it's really surreal to have something named after you. I'm still in shock.
Hey, it's not the Yvette Gerard Memorial, so, yeah, you're not dead, and we don't need that to happen anytime soon. Coach, thank you again.
Thank you, Ben.
She's the best. I'm not dead. Can you name it after me? I mean, they did. And she's calling games there, which is absolutely tremendous. Speaking of dead, I think I tried to kill her off in the middle of that interview. Mea culpa. CD, let's get to that one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Wow. And that was my reaction this morning. John Beilein, one of the best coaches in college basketball, heading to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a 5-year deal. I'll give you my thoughts on that at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. But we end this hour with that one final word, and it is wow. Brought to you by the Village Station, which is your final stop to fill the stomach and tank when you head home on Maurice Avenue. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you. Ruff and Roderick at 5:15. Don't go anywhere. This is 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. One more hour to go on this Monday, May 13 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint taking you home. Thrilled to be broadcasting on 103.7 The Game. And for the next hour, we're inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Busy first hour. Mondo Duplantis, I'm sure one day he will be a Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. Yvette Gerard, she already is. Both were utterly fantastic. We got a little more time for you in this second hour. Only scheduled guest is Ruffin Rodrigue in T-minus 12 minutes. You want to weigh in, especially on our sink or swim question of the day. Now is your time, 706-0111. And for the uninitiated, or for those with crappy memory, I'll run it back for you. In honor of Mondo coming on the program, here is our sink or swim question. Who are the best freshman performers you can remember at the college level? Already, Angel, shout out to Female Caller Nation, Nick, have weighed in. And we've gotten some goods on Twitter as well. So far, the tweeps are outweighing people on Facebook, and that's pretty rare for our program. But our guy Doug says it's Fournette. Yep, that one was on my list. I just wasn't going to steal any thunder. But 2014, Fournette was special. It took him a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit to get revved up. I do remember a brief bit of time in those early 2014 LSU press boxes where some of us were saying, wow, this other kid in the class, Darrell Williams, is not a slouch. And he wasn't. Darrell Williams coming from John Arrett. Fournette, of course, from St. Aug. Both New Orleans transplants going west on I-10. Both factored in a good bit that first year. But, yeah, by the time Fournette really got cranked up, I can remember him taking LSU on his shoulders, on his back at Florida in a big win. Freshman Fournette was awfully fantastic. And you knew then that he was going to live up to the billing. But peak Fournette at LSU, in some ways you could say almost like peak Tyrann Mathieu at LSU, was that sophomore year. Especially the first half Fournette's sophomore year. I think that dude is still trying to pick teeth out of his grass when Fournette threw the Auburn player over his back sophomore season 2015. Fournette's a really good one. Richie has given us three to answer this bountiful question. Pistol Pete, Chris Jackson, pretty darn good ones. I think we would all agree on the LSU side. Emmitt Smith, national perspective. That's not bad at all. Again, we got time for more. 706-0111. There's one that I had down on my list as we're talking LSU football that I was going to give you time for. Clint's taking a call right now. If this guy or gal is going to say Tommy Hodson, then I'm sorry, because that's where I'm going with this. Tommy Hodson, 1985, needs to be on a freshman performers list. And this was long before true freshmen came in and did that. Not just at LSU, but frankly at the SEC level in collegiate football. So for my money, I think that's one you have to throw out there. Yvette Girard gave some of her favorites, young lady she had at UL, LSU, and a four-time All-American. Yeah, that means that you were probably pretty good your first year as well. So we've had some good ones so far. We got time for more. While I'm waiting on that, there are a few other basketball-related topics I wanted to touch on in the 5 o'clock hour. Got some time, so I'll spin some yarn. John Beilein taking a 5-year deal, bolting from the Michigan Wolverines to take the Cleveland Cavaliers job. Okay, so what does history show us in basically the last 10 to 15 to 20 years especially, probably more on the college football side, the college basketball side. But when guys make that jump from college to the pros, why is it? I'm going to reference Pete Carroll as being a pretty good example. I'm going to reference who is our friend that was at Oregon for a while and now is losing games at UCLA. My memory is just getting worse and worse. Chip Kelly, there it is. There it is. Clint pulled the mic down, and before he could even get it to his mouth, I figured it out. I found it. But those guys left not just because of the opportunity, not just because they wanted to scratch an itch a la Nick Saban after the 2004 LSU football season, but I think in some respects they bolted because the talent was running a little dry or the ground was evaporating from underneath their feet in terms of the arm of the NC2A law. So sometimes you bolt because, you know what? It's not going to get any better where I'm at. In fact, it's probably about to get worse, either because of talent or because of the NCAA coming, or maybe even both, which leads us to Urban Meyer. Now, he didn't go to the professional level, but he got the hell out of Gainesville before the guillotine dropped because the chosen one, Tim Tebow, was out of eligibility and, you know, everybody was getting arrested. And who knows what was going on with Aaron Hernandez. It's just time to get the hell out of Gainesville, like I said. But a lot of times these college coaches go to the pros because they don't have a future set up where they're at that's going to be as bright as what their present is. I don't see that as the case with John Beilein. That Michigan machine is rolling pretty good. I mean, I think you would say at this point, maybe not quite where Villanova is, right? Couple championships in the last 5 years. But I think you would say that they're on a par with Duke, UNC, Kentucky, even this year's Natty champ, Virginia. I mean, that Michigan team almost always steamrolls through March. The only reason they didn't this year is because they ran into a Texas Tech machete. But that Michigan team is so good. I mean, so good when it comes to March. No reason to believe with their recruiting classes they couldn't have kept doing that. So this one's interesting. John Beilein to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it shows you a few things. One, that he believes in the opportunity there. I understand there's a connection with Dan Gilbert, the owner, Quicken Loans, based out of Detroit. So, yeah, you would think maybe there's a little bit of synergy, connectivity, right? A guy that coaches in Ann Arbor, recruits the Dickens out of Detroit, yeah, you would think there's probably a little bit of a connection there. But the other thing that helps to underscore, the Lakers tried to throw a 3-year deal at Ty Lue. He called their bluff, and he's not going to be the head coach there. Good on Ty Lue, by the way. for not getting involved with that. But there is a new guy in La La Land, by the way. There is going to be somebody that takes that job. And by all accounts today, it's going to be Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel reportedly to take a three-year deal. So nobody really seems to want that job. At this point, it might just be Kurt Rambis and his wife, because I think that's all that Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, I think that's really all that they rely on. Speaking of the Fab Five, Nick called in earlier and said those were his favorite freshman performers. Any chance Rob Pelinka was on one of those teams? We may have to do a little Google work, CD. I think Rob Pelinka might have been on those Fab Five teams, you know, just a non-freshman. You'll let me know by the end of the segment. I have no doubt that you will. You gave the thumbs up, so that's a yes. There you go. All right. That's one for one. I couldn't remember Chip Kelly's name, but I'm rolling now. I remember Rob Pelinka played somewhere 28 years ago. Good on me. But it's interesting. Beeline going to the Cavs, and can he spark something there? And can he become maybe the equivalent of what Pete Carroll, by and large, has with Seattle? Doesn't always work out. And I'll give you another example where we talk college guys going to the pros. I'm going to throw a guy that coached at Florida for what seems like forever, Billy Donovan. And Donovan took that magic job and then came right back in. So even he realized that the grass wasn't going to be greener. He didn't stay where he was. But it's interesting to me that Beeline is leaving a very plush situation in Ann Arbor. Let's see what he can build in Cleveland. All right, before we wrap up this opening segment of hour number two, shout out to the NBA playoffs. And I told you late last week, who said the NBA playoffs without LeBron couldn't sparkle? They have. We got two game sevens. They both came down just about to the wire. Kawhi Leonard proved once again that the right amount of backspin can accomplish anything. Ding, ding, ding. Other side of the rim, dong, and drop in. Can you imagine being a 76ers fan and just hanging on a thread while that thing is yo-yoing around? I don't think my heart could have taken that. So two game sevens, they were phenomenal. A road team won one of the game sevens, and their best piston wasn't even firing at full speed. Talking about Dame Lillard, but C.J. McCollum had his back. And so we've got the top two seeds that have prevailed in the East. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a retooled Toronto team with Kawhi, the Claw, taking the lead. And I'm ready to see if they can dethrone the Greek Freak and probably the best overall team that's left. Not the best collection of players, the best team. The Milwaukee Bucks. On the other side, Clint told us, I believe on Thursday, it is a slam dunk without Kevin Durant that the Houston Rockets would win the series. Brother, they didn't win a damn game. They didn't even defend home court. Steph Curry scored zero in the first half. The Kentucky Derby's a week and a half old. You bet on the wrong horse this weekend, though.
Exactly. I was on the very wrong horse. I think that take is just freezing cold right about now.
Yeah. Not even close. Happy to lord it over you. Told you the Warriors would win one of the two games. I didn't think it would be the one on the road, but they got it done. And so now we have a matchup of the Blazers and the Warriors. I think we're heading toward Warriors versus Bucks, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Raptors got over on the Bucks. I don't think the West is going to be won by anybody but the defending champs. All right, we got to hit our opening break of hour number two. And this hour is brought to you in part by Relief Windows. Did you know Relief Windows also offers new construction windows, not just replacement windows? We offer custom vinyl and wood new construction windows along with custom doors and siding. Call Relief Windows today. Learn more, 337-456-1699. Visit the website, reliefwindows.com. Relief Windows, windows, doors, and siding. Coming back, bringing Ruff and Rodrigue with us. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Breaker, breaker.
Let's go, people.
Come on, back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
We got our man, and we're ready to roll. Back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And it is time to bring back Ruff and Rodrigue, owner of Rufino's on the River, and just an overall great guy. How are you, Ruff?
Oh, man, doing great, man. Beautiful day. Love it.
We had an excellent time with Louis Cook on Friday, and here's where I'll lead off. He told some pretty cool stories about interacting and rubbing shoulders with your uncle, a former McNeese State coach. He's been all over the place, but Don Rodrigue, and they intersected at Rain High School. Ruff, and that was pretty cool to listen to.
Oh, I'll bet, man. Those guys, he's legendary in Louisiana football. He took over the years, all the great players that have gone on to college and pros from Louisiana, and per capita, it's not even close with any other state. Louisiana is by far number one per capita. And guys, because of Cook and my Uncle Don, who's been at five or six different high schools, and all the great coaches developing players, and not only developing players, but guys like Louis Cook, what they do is they get them out of the hallways. There's a lot of great players that have never played, that don't even try in high school. But when you got great coaching and great teaching and leaders, they can get them on the field and become great players and get scholarships and have great lives. So they definitely change lives.
So with the LSU Coaches Caravan touching down in Houma tonight, any chance you're down the bayou?
Gordon was supposed to call me and she would ride down there. I've had so much going on with my son's trip to Houston, and I got a conference, and I haven't been there in ages, but I got to Vegas this weekend for this restaurant conference. So a lot of stuff going on now that LSU graduation's over. Mother's Day was yesterday, was huge, and then we have the Raging Cajun graduation, I think, Friday of this week. So it'll be pretty intense all over.
Ruffin, how would you describe the way the people of Houma, Thibodaux, everywhere in that area, how do they feel about LSU?
Oh, it's an obsession. When I grew up, it's all I knew. I was actually a USL fan first because of my uncle G.A. was a captain and linebacker in the 70s. So my first football experiences were in Lafayette. Maximum, I got to tell you this before, my first autograph was Rafael Septian in the locker room. My uncle G.A. told me to go get his autograph because he'd be playing the NFL one day. So LSU down there is just, man, it's really every guy's wearing an LSU hat. You see T-shirts everywhere. The brand was big then, but it's really big now because it's nationwide. And because of the success of the players in the NFL, especially guys like Odell, what he's done for the school, because of the catch and different things and, what Shaq did and all that. You got some lifetime memories, but the Bayou Parishes, man, it's an obsession. It really is. There's LSU painted everywhere. You paint the town purple and gold.
Spending some time with Ruff and Rodrigue on 103.7 The Game. Of course, this Friday, we'll be back out at Rufino's on the River. Got some fun guests lined up that I'll tell our listeners about later in the week. Something else has happened since we did one of those shows, Ruffin. I've had another caller. He got with Clint. Clint passed him through to me after a segment. He didn't want to come on the air, and he said, could you and Ruffin not talk about Rob Sale anymore because we don't need other people knowing how great he is? People remember that, Ruffin.
Yeah. He's the thing with Rob, he was a hard-working player, I can remember, at LSU. He had to really work hard for because he didn't have the ultimate height and the size and all that. But, man, he is – his evaluation – I remember when he was at Alabama, and we talked at a golf tournament when LSU had a big signing class of a bunch of linemen. And he told me, I hate to tell you this, but he said Trey Turner's going to be the only one that makes – that even plays out of that whole class or whoever he was talking about. And I'm like, really? He goes, he's the only one we even considered. And he was right. Look at Trey, you know. So he really, really great eye for talent, Rob has, and makes connections. You know, just like I do at Rufino's in the restaurant business, making connections for fun for people. He makes connections for with people, for kids and talent. And he's the kind of guy that you want to send your son to and know he'd be taken care of.
Ruffin, we're about 4 months out, roughly, from LSU's trip to Austin to take on Texas. I heard something this weekend, and shame on me, I haven't confirmed it yet, but these are TAF members that were told that only top 100 people on the list there, right, would be even considered to get tickets at this point because of how few tickets were allotted to LSU. I think the estimate that I was given was about 3,000, and that wouldn't be forgotten when the return trip is made by the Longhorns. Does that sound right to you, and can you believe that?
I don't know. Texas is pretty good at creating a lot of hype. So, I don't know, man. You know, with StubHub today, and StubHub has made my life a lot easier during football season, to be honest with you, Ben. Because when people ask me, hey, man, where do you get tickets? I'm just like, dude, you just go to StubHub.
Yeah, but that's secondary market. You know what I mean? If the allotment's only 3,000, that's a little troubling to me.
That is, but it is. And it's probably up in the upper deck, like Saban does. And you know, Nick Saban changed the way I think Nick's hurt college football from a viewer standpoint. He started this his second year at Alabama. I remember Alabama's tickets being fantastic. We had most of the lower area, and he could sit by LSU fans. And then the very next year, I remember going back, and we were in the upper deck. And not only were we in the upper deck, but there were sections, little spotted sections all over the upper deck. So he didn't want all the LSU, he didn't want all the visitor fans together. So everybody started following suit. So it's really hard to find good tickets in a visitor section these days anywhere. And Nick started that. And it's not that much fun to go on road trips anymore. But the thing is this is the first time we've ever been to Austin and to play in that stadium. So it's a big deal for LSU fans.
Oh, and there's no doubt that there will be a takeover of sorts in tailgating, and I would imagine in the secondary market. And that's the conversation I had with these people over the weekend is, okay, consider whatever the allotment was for Georgia in Tiger Stadium this year. I mean, Ruffin, you were at that game. There was a lot of red in Death Valley Saturday afternoon this year.
Oh, yeah, and probably a lot of secondary, but, you know, it's a big stadium. It's 100, you know, 1,000 or whatever, and I think, you fill it for Georgia and Alabama, but the rest of them, you know, they're spotty. You know, I continue to tell Coach Napier that about a lot of LSU fans in the KDN area don't make the drive anymore because of the traffic and all the toughness of getting home late. So he's got some people he can market to get a new fan base. It's hard, you know. It's expensive, Ben. You know that. That trip to Austin is not going to be cheap. But so I don't know how they work things, but you know, LSU's pretty luck. I tell you this, we haven't talked about it, but getting Scott Woodward is one of the biggest gets in a long time for not only LSU but for Louisiana.
I don't have any doubt about it, and I think your point made to Billy Napier is spot on. Big opportunities to people in this area and building, growing a fan base. Ruffin, you know we appreciate the time. Enjoy Vegas. If we don't talk again, have a great trip.
Okay, my man. Have a good one, Ben. Thank you.
It's Ruffin Rodri. Really good point about Napier and the opportunity. In fact, I'll circle back to it on the other side of this break. We'll throw a little shade as well and take your phone call. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and I'll tolerate you too for the remainder of this bumper only on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Coming down the home stretch on Bumper to Bumper Sports, Ben Love, Clint Domang, taking you home on 103.7 The Game, and time for your phone calls. The number to play, 706-0111. Don't forget, today we're taking you up until Astro Launch, Asterix in Progress. That's right. At 6 o'clock, we'll take you to Houston, get you ready for the Tigers and the Stros. First pitch tonight is at 6:10. So you'll get about 10 minutes of Astro Launch and then the good stuff. CD, help me out a little bit here. Stros, we know, have been white hot. I want to touch on that a little bit in this segment. They got a great start from the Rook yesterday, a kid that's from the Houston area in Corbin Martin. Forrest Whitley probably didn't love seeing that, but hey, you know, they're on the same team, so maybe they're rowing in the same direction. And I know it's Matthew Boyd going for the Tigers tonight. How do I know that? He's on my fantasy team. But who's going for Houston?
I believe it's going to be not McHugh, obviously.
Did I catch you not knowing? You're my Astros almanac, brother.
Like I said, it was just like off the top of my head, I had to kind of pull it up. I have it right here. I thought I did.
I'm pretty slick with the internet as well. Yeah. Brad Peacock tonight. There Brad Peacock against
Matt Boyd.
It was
pretty good last start.
Oh, don't act like you're in the game now. You're not in the game.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not EA Sports.
Throwing shade comes in like 90 seconds, but don't beat me to the punch there. So Brad Peacock and Matt Boyd tonight. The Boyd guy's been pretty good for the Detroit Tigers. The offense, by and large, for Detroit, not always what you've become accustomed to. So if the Stros continue their offensive outbursts, they'll be okay. But I think they'd like to see Brad Peacock, to Clint's point, continue his form from his last start, because the beginning to the season for Peacock hasn't always been quite as promising. But the Stros, the Tigers tonight, first pitch, 6:10 right here on 103.7 The Game. All right, Clint tried to preempt it, but now it is time for your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down. It starts with Mark. They're going to sit down, figure out what you're looking for, gauge your needs, and then help you create a vision. More importantly, they're going to fulfill it in a timely fashion. And before you know it, before this football season, your patio game is going to be upped. And all it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization. It's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Two coming at you today. First up, Tony Robichaux. We get Robisms all the time. This one I like. And I'm not even sure it's full-on shade. It's just damn good. But Robichaux asked about his Cajuns taking on ULM this weekend. And we know UL desperately needs one win out of three games to secure a spot in the Sun Belt Conference tournament the following week. Here's what Robe said on playing ULM. You kick someone's dog long enough and yours goes down, they'll want to kick your dog. Yes, he's right. The sun shines on you and it feels good. But man, when it's not, you got to watch out. And the Warhawks this year have a team that can compete with UL, no doubt about it. But I get a feeling that the Cajuns find a way to take not only one, but maybe two. Get a series win and go into the SBC tourney with a little momentum. I just love that quote right there. Cajuns have been used to kicking the Warhawks' dog. Well, right now, that Cajuns' dog's a little down. You know ULM is going to want to kick back. Your numero dos on a Monday. CJ McCollum, tremendous yesterday. Game 7 and his Nuggets, shaded me. Can't remember what team he plays for. His Portland Trailblazers went on the road and beat the Nuggets. That's pretty rare for Game 7s. And I thought what was fantastic, if you think these athletes aren't on social media and they don't have the rabbit ears, some of them don't, some of them go on postseason bans, which I like, but CJ McCollum has no such ban. After a career performance for McCollum, there was a video last night tweeted out of a Nugget trying to check CJ on the perimeter. CJ drives basically from the right wing, three-point line, about a two dribble in, 45-degree angle toward the left elbow, and then a step-back jumper, and it was just wet. But there was a video, and connected to it was the tweet, pretty darn good defense, pretty good defense. C.J. McCollum, without missing a beat, wasn't just savage on the court, but he quote-tweeted that by saying, nice defense, my ass. And so it's not good enough that C.J. McCollum torches Denver, ends its season on its home court, but then after the game is over, that's not even subliminal, brother. I mean, that is just out-and-out shade. Nice defense, my ass. Take this bucket.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Glenn, who's pitching for the Astros tonight?
Brad Peacock.
There it is.
There we go.
Now we're on the same page, and now we're going to our final break. We'll be right back in. Got a little more to discuss with the NBA playoffs. We'll take some of your phone calls as well. LSU UL baseball on the agenda, too. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
The cue plays, and that means we're back, but only once more. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. That means we've got one final go to take your phone call, 706-0111. CD, you got one during the break, somebody that didn't want to be heard from but had a topic to discuss.
Yeah, a guy, Tim, didn't have enough time to kind of just hang on the ARCO equipment hotline, but he has one for the freshman sink or swim question of the day, and he's going a little bit more recent here, Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh, yeah, it's hard to go against that.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
And, you know, it's funny. I gave Tommy Hodson mid-80s. Nick called in and gave Tommy Frazier mid-90s. And here we are in modern times. And in back-to-back national championship games, I mean, think about it. In back-to-back natty games, okay? So go back 2 years ago, the game that was played in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. After Jalen Hurts was pulled, it was Tua Tagovailoa versus Jake from State Farm. Auburn, I'm sorry, listen to me. Good Lord. Alabama versus Georgia. Two true freshmen duked it out in the second half of a national title game. And then to Tim's point, Trevor Lawrence this past season for Clemson. So, yeah, there have been a lot of amazing freshman performers of late. But it's not just on the football side. Again, you're just joining us. All this was sparked because about 90 minutes ago, Mondo Duplantis joined us. And I'm curious who you're favorite, your best freshman performers of all time are at the collegiate level. Don't worry about which sport. Just give us your guy, your gal, because we have gotten number of guys, and we've gotten at least one lady from Angel. She delivered Ashley Brignac to the program. So we got time for some more. 706-0111. In fact, we're going back to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Frank, you want to go in on freshman performers?
Dude, how can you not go with Alex Lane? I mean, Brignac, yes, Angel, she's spot on. But you got to give Kent the gavel so he can drop it. You had senior batters calling their moms saying, I got to face this guy with the nastiest fastball. It looked like the fastball was exploding out of his hand.
Out of all the arms that have come through LSU, I'll just say kind of in the Allen Dunn extended era, his was the most amazing in year one. And that includes Gausman and Nola and all these guys who have just lit the world on fire. Even Eric Walker. And we have a texter to the program who just submitted Eric Walker. He was dynamite. And had he been available for the College World Series 2 years ago, well, maybe not everybody wants to throw Maneri off the Basin Bridge right now. But he wasn't. Then the cards you're dealt and you play with them. But you're right. Alex Lang goes at the tip top of this list. Frank, that's a great submission. And you're right. Clint gave it first.
Too easy, Ben.
It's easy money. Clint, you also stole that. You stole Alex Lang for me because I had that written down before the show. We didn't compare notes. I'll take that L. But you definitely stole too easy from Frank. And, well, we've got like, I don't know, 4 years of proof of that on the program. All right, back out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. James, thank you for waiting. Give us your favorite freshman.
Has to go back to Chris Jackson, LSU Tigers, against Florida. May have been his first or second SEC basketball game, and I think he dropped maybe 33 on them. And this was an away game, and the people in the stands for Florida were cheering this young man off.
That's a hard feat right there. I mean, not just the performance, but if you dazzle him so much to where people in Gainesville are cheering for you, you've done something.
Yes, and as a freshman, that's hard to do in the SEC. When he played during that era, the SEC was really good in basketball, really good in basketball. So it was a tough conference, tough arena, and he went to work.
No, I dig that one. Thanks for the call, James.
Have a good one.
You too, man. And look, I really like that one. And Richie gave it to us on Twitter, but hey, people come in out of their vehicles. I get it. I get how Sports Drive works. But Chris Jackson was on Richie's list, and I listed Trey Waters from last season, or I guess now two seasons ago. But as I've told you for years on the program, there's layers to stuff, and there's levels to things. And there's a level or two on the ladder between Tremont Waters, 2017, 2018, and Chris Jackson, early 90s. There are levels to things. So I like that one. And Richie also gave us Pistol Pete. And if you want to learn a little more about Pistol Pete's freshman season, if I'm not mistaken, Cody Worsham, who at the time was with Tiger Rag Magazine, wrote a dynamite piece about what would be considered Pistol Pete's lost year. I do believe that was his freshman year, so I don't want to steal all of Cody's thunder, and it's been a year or two since I've read that piece, but it just came to mind when I thought of what Richie brought to the table. Doug on Twitter, Trevor Lawrence is a good one. Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And it's funny because it doesn't really matter, for the sake of this conversation, what they become. It's just what they are. Maybe sometimes even ahead of schedule. I'll give you one more, and I've had it on my list the whole time. Kind of shocked that nobody's run this one down yet. Patrick Peterson. I mean, don't forget that we're only having the conversations we are about Derek Stingley Jr. right now because we have a basis of comparison. If it weren't for Patrick Peterson in 2008 and who he was from Jump Street, I don't think any of us would have that focal point, right? Or have that parallel to say, okay, this is how excellent that Derek Stingley Jr. could be right away. If it weren't for PP7, we would just have to create a new plateau. He was amazing right off the bat. Crucial interception, as memory serves. LSU loses a 2008 overtime game at home to Alabama, but I think he still had a big pick in that game, so look, when it mattered most, that guy was there, and you knew that he was a stud right away. So I'm trying to think of some more, and you know, just top of the mind, I would probably roll off Simone Augustus on a list like this as well. Sylvia Fowles, I mean, right away, you just knew. And I grew up in Baton Rouge, so I just knew already about people like Simone Augustus, Brandon Bass. I mean, you knew about these guys and gals that come up in your backyard, just as everybody here does in Acadiana, right? You know who they are. I remember when I first got here and I was calling games at LCA and Greg Williams Jr. was a sophomore. And I was like, man, I wonder how many people know about this cat. He's only a sophomore, but so special. And then I figured out, you know what? They've been watching for 2 years, Ben. They know damn good and well who he is. And it's the same thing. In Baton Rouge, you know who the kids were. They were coming out of Capitol or whatever school it is. So even knowing how good somebody like Simone Augustus was supposed to be, once you watched it translate on the next level, and she's playing right away, and she's, I mean, just as good, if not better, than everyone on the court when they're playing Tennessee, when they're playing Gino Auriemma and UConn. So I would list Simone Augustus on a list like this as well. All right, let's take another one. Back to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Tommy, break it up for me. Give us some of you.
Some of me. That's not good. I'll go old school on you.
Tommy Casanova. And to get real old school, Billy Cannon.
So, okay, help me with my old school. At what point were freshmen allowed to play on the varsity team?
I knew you were going to get me on that. It was after Casanova. I think it was sometime during McClendon's era, but I think it was after Casanova.
So when we always refer to Dr. Tommy Casanova as a three-time All-American, those would be his only 3 years eligible to play for the varsity, correct?
That's right. Technically, he's not a freshman, but he really is.
First time that everybody had to deal with him.
Yes. You're pretty sharp, Ben. I was hoping I could slide that by you.
Well, you're going to have to wake up a little earlier. Thank you, Tommy.
Take the rest of the day off. Bye-bye.
You know what? I will in about 2.5 minutes. I'm going to go find Hunt Palmer and steal a Bud Light from him. Only guy I know that probably gets to the Bud Light a little faster than me. Of course, now that I work out more, I've had to give up the Bud Light and go to the Ultra. That's just a sad story, though. R.I.P. Bud Light. I remember those days. So, yeah. Dr. Tommy Casanova, 3-time All-American, because he could only play 3 years. We got a submission earlier from Yvette Girard, and yeah, she had a young lady that 4-time All-American. That's stupefying in the modern era. And almost in any era, right? I mean, just think about what you're sandwiched in between. Back in the day in certain sports when you weren't allowed to play as a freshman, and then in the modern era where if you're good enough, you either go straight out of high school, like baseball, or tennis or some other sports maybe, you stay 1 year, basketball, or you stay 3 years, baseball or football or basically anything else. The idea of a 4-time All-American in any sport is just... it just takes a shotgun to the brain and blows it out. It's absolutely mind-blowing. All right, we do have to wrap it up, and I'll take that analogy and bring us to the finish line. We got Astros baseball on the other side. Astros fans hoping that they can keep the offense up. Take a gun to the head of the Detroit Tigers tonight. Big ball game tonight from Minute Maid Park. It begins at 6:10. I'm sorry. I'm trying to mess up right before the show ends. This one's going to be up in Detroit, so I'm thinking Comerica Park. So it'll be Houston at Detroit. Brad Peacock, Matthew Boyd coming at you. That's a pretty good lineup right there. We had a great one for our program today. Mondo Duplantis, fresh off of setting the collegiate record for the NC2A outdoors level. Unbelievable what he did. 6 meters for the uninitiated. That's 19 feet, 8.25 inches. Great to catch up with Mondo Duplantis in the 4 o'clock hour. Ditto for Yvette Girard, Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer. And Ruffin Rodriguez, one of our favorites, and right back where he belongs, Monday, in his 5:15 slot. This has been B2BS. Ben Love and Clint Domang will be back tomorrow at 4 on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
From the 237 room.